And so James chapter 1, and I will begin reading in verse 19. Let's pray together once again. Our Father and our God, we thank you for the word of truth by which you have caused us, according to your will, to be born again and to become new creatures in Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, that you have implanted this word in our hearts. And we pray that you would give us the grace to receive with meekness this implanted word, which is able to save our souls and cause us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The book of James, chapter 1, beginning in verse 19. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. This is the word of God. Now, I know I'm jumping around a bit in the book of James. We have already finished chapter 2, and here we are tonight back in chapter 1. But James chapter 1 is like an overture to the book. In chapter 1, James introduces the themes that he develops later in the book. And in our verses tonight from chapter 1, James introduces a theme which he returns to and develops at length in chapter 2 regarding obedient faith. And so having covered chapter 2, we can go back now to these verses in chapter 1 and have a better grasp of their meaning because we know where James is going with this particular theme. And the theme in these verses is receiving with meekness the implanted word, by which James means not only hearing the word of God, but doing it. To receive with meekness means to hear and obey. Receiving means obedient hearing. The obedient hearer will be saved, but the non-obedient hearer is deceived. He is deceived regarding his salvation. He presumes that he will be saved by his faith, but his faith cannot save him because it is a faith without works. A non-obedient hearer, that is, one who says he has faith but does not have works, is deceived regarding his salvation. You see, the blessing of glorified eternal life in heaven is for those who hear the word of God and obey it. Those who hear but do not obey are deceived if they think that they're going to be saved by their faith because their faith is dead. And that kind of faith cannot save anyone. And so the non-obedient hearer in chapter 1 of James is the person who has faith without works in chapter 2 of James. And the obedient hearer in chapter 1 of James is the person who has a living and active faith in chapter 2 of James, like the faith of Abraham and the faith of Rahab. Now, if we keep in mind that connection between chapters 1 and 2, we can understand better the meaning of chapter 1 because we know where James is going with this particular theme. And his main concern in these verses that we're looking at tonight, James' main concern is to define the nature of saving faith, to define the nature of true faith, living faith, saving faith. Saving faith hears and obeys. A true believer is an obedient hearer of the word of God. A true believer is no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, verse 25. A true believer is one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres in it. He perseveres. He endures, like Abraham did when God tested his faith by commanding him to offer up his son Isaac in Genesis chapter 22. Endurance under testing is a mark of saving faith. Saving faith remains steadfast under trial, James 1, verse 12. And that really is the main theme of the whole book of James. In fact, we can say that the Beatitude in verse 12 of chapter 1 gives us a synopsis of the whole book. James writes in verse 12 of chapter 1, "Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him." Now, that same blessing of eternal life comes back into view in verse 25, which we're looking at tonight. James says in verse 25, "The one who looks into the perfect law and perseveres will be blessed in his doing." Now, how exactly will he be blessed? He will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. "Those who hear the word but do not do it deceive themselves if they think they're going to receive that blessing." In other words, to use the language that James uses in chapter 2, those who have faith without works deceive themselves if they think that they're going to be saved. It's those who hear the word of God and do it that receive that blessing. That's what our Lord Jesus Christ said in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, verse 28. Christ said, "Blessed are those who hear the word of God and obey it." So those who hear the word but do not obey it will not be blessed, and they're deceived if they think that they're going to be blessed. Now, that's what James is really getting at in these verses this evening that we're focusing on. James begins this passage of Scripture with a proverb about being quick to hear and slow to speak. In verse 19, James says, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God." Now here James anticipates another theme that he's going to come back to later and develop at length when he gets to chapter 3. The wisdom that comes from above teaches us to be slow to speak, because that's how we tame the tongue. The whole chapter of James 3 is about taming the tongue, and being slow to speak is how we tame the tongue. And our tongue needs to be tamed because it is a restless evil. It's full of deadly poison. It is a world of unrighteousness. In fact, it is set on fire by hell, James says. But those who are quick to hear and slow to speak, and therefore slow to anger, live according to the wisdom that comes from above, which is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, and so on. The anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God, but a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace, James 3:18. And how is it that we make peace? Well, first of all, we make peace by being quick to hear and slow to speak and slow to anger. Now, having introduced that theme, which he will return to later in chapter 3, James goes on to concentrate on his exhortation to hear and obey the word of God. And James writes in verse 21, "Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls." Now, James gives us here an exhortation with two sides. It has a negative side and a positive side. Negatively, we are to put away something, and positively, we are to humbly receive something. Now, what are we supposed to put away or get rid of? Well, we are supposed to put away moral and spiritual filthiness or uncleanness and every trace of wickedness. And what are we supposed to humbly receive? Well, it's the implanted word, which is able to save our souls, that is, to save us from perishing, to save us from perdition, the second death, the lake of fire. The implanted word is the word of truth. It's the gospel of our salvation, which we professed that we believed at our conversion. When we first heard the gospel of Jesus Christ preached, that word was implanted in us like seed that is sown into the ground. It was implanted like seed in the soil of our hearts. But not every implanted seed produces fruit, not because the seed is defective, as the word of God, it's perfect, but because the soil is defective. Now here we might think of the parable of the soils sometimes called the parable of the sower, that our Lord Jesus tells in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 13. The sower goes forth sowing the seed, and the seed is the word of God. And you remember, as he sows the seed falls on four different kinds of soil. Some falls by the wayside, some falls among thorns and thistles, some falls on stony ground, other seed falls on good soil. And only one kind of soil bears fruit, not because the seed is defective, but because some of the soils are defective. The implanted word of God, the word that God has implanted in the soil of our hearts when we first heard the gospel preached, the implanted word of God, in order to bear fruit, must be received by us with meekness. It must be humbly received by us if it is to yield its fruit. And its fruit, of course, is our salvation. And so we must receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save our souls. Now, James wants to make it clear that receiving the word with meekness means that we are doers of the word and not hearers only. A meek receiver is an obedient hearer. Now, James says, he puts it this way in verse 22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. So the implanted word will yield its harvest. It will produce its fruit, the salvation of our souls, if it is nurtured in the soil of obedience, the soil of obedience. But if we are non-obedient hearers, if we are hearers only, then we are deceiving ourselves if we think that we're going to receive the harvest of glorified eternal life in heaven. That blessing is for those who hear the word of God and do it. It's not for hearers only. Jesus said, again, blessed are those who hear the word of God and obey it, Luke 11:28. To hear and not obey, to hear God's word and not obey, is to have faith without works. It's to have a faith without works. It's to say you have faith, but not have works. And what good is it to have faith without works? What good does it do? James says in chapter 2, 14, what good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? That faith can save him. Of course it can, because faith without works is dead. It's lifeless. It's useless. The kind of faith that does not produce good works, in other words, the kind of hearing that does not obey, the kind of hearing that does not result in obedience, cannot save. That faith cannot save. A non-obedient hearer is deceived if he thinks that he'll be saved by his faith, because his faith is not a living and active faith. It's not saving faith. His profession of faith is empty. It's lifeless. He does not have the kind of faith through which one is counted righteous before God, and therefore he's not in a state of justification, and he's deceived if he thinks he is in a state of justification. True faith, James says, is living. It's active. It's operative. It works. It not only hears the word of God, but it obeys the word of God. So a spirit-produced obedience to the word is the fruit and evidence of a true and lively faith. True believers are obedient hearers because they are united to the crucified and risen Christ and are therefore dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. They are no longer slaves of sin, which leads to death, but slaves of obedience, which leads to righteousness. They have been set free from the enslaving power of sin and have become slaves of righteousness. Obedience, then, is the natural fruit of saving faith. It's the necessary fruit of saving faith. It's the inevitable fruit of saving faith. Saving faith will produce obedience. And one who has saving faith is an obedient hearer of the word. He's a doer of the word, not a hearer only. Now, if someone hears the word of truth and professes to believe it but does not obey it, he's a hearer only and is deceiving himself if he thinks that he's going to be saved by that dead faith. Now, that's his point. That's James' point here. And he illustrates this teaching. James goes on to illustrate this teaching, or to illustrate more specifically, this kind of self-deception with a short parable about a man looking into a mirror and seeing himself. James says in verse 23, "For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror, for he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like." In other words, What he saw in the mirror made no impression on him. It made no lasting impression on him, and it led to no action. It led to no obedience. It led to no works, to no action. Now, maybe James has in mind, and it looks to me like James has in mind, that when the man sees himself in the mirror, he sees the filthiness of his old nature in Adam, which he is supposed to put away. He's supposed to get rid of. He sees himself, to put it in other words, he sees himself clothed in filthiness and uncleanness and a life marked by rampant wickedness, but he doesn't get rid of it. He doesn't put it away and receive the word with meekness. And so he's like one who sees himself in a mirror in such a filthy condition, but he doesn't do anything about it. He doesn't put it away. He doesn't change his life. It's like he completely forgot what he saw. He goes off, he walks away from the mirror, and he immediately forgets what he looked like. He gives no attention to his moral or spiritual condition, no attention to his moral and spiritual filthiness, which he's supposed to get rid of. Now, James is saying that's what it's like to be a hearer of the word of God and not a doer of the word. But James goes on to continue his analogy by describing what an obedient hearer is like, when he has a true and living faith, a faith that produces works. What is that like? James says in verse 25, "But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing." And how again is he going to be blessed? He will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Verse 12, that's the blessing that he will receive, and he will receive that blessing at the end of the world. He will receive the reward of glorified eternal life in heaven, in the state of glory, the state of perfection. That, you see, is the harvest that is produced by the implanted word, which has been implanted in the soils of our heart, when that seed is nurtured in the soil of obedient faith, when it is received by a true and living and active faith. That's the harvest that it produces. And so, beloved, let us, by the grace of God, do what James tells us to do. Let's put away all moral filthiness, all spiritual uncleanness, and get rid of every trace of wickedness. And let us, by the grace of God, receive with meekness the word of God, which he has implanted in our hearts, which is able to save our souls. And let us be doers of the word and not only.